Hi there. Welcome. This is Conscious Living on Empower Radio. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time. Hope you're having a good day, whatever you're doing. I just joined the world of Twitter, so I'll be tweeting just to give you an idea that there's more content coming and in a new and different way. I figured when sharks were added to the equation, that might be my sign. And one of the, obviously, it opened a whole new world of content and creation, and my background in media, you know, it's hard to walk away from that. However, I can see that I'm going to have to set a few limits, but you can thank Brent Carey for finally talking me into Are you sure you don't mean to set up account? I can set up an account for you. And then I saw this thing on the sharks. The deal is on sharks that they've been equipped with little transmitters that let people know that the sharks are in the area. They're tweeting when they're close by. Somebody else on Twitter said that it was really nice of them to be so gracious to let you know they were coming to eat you before they showed up. Anyway, it's a whole new world. And one of those things that I don't want to get away from is my contact and my connection with that other unseen world. And other people like that. They know the value of giving space away from the electronic media and allowing that inner connection to basically shine, you know, to overshadow, to seep through, to become immersed in all of this stuff that's here that we don't get to see. But it's still very much a presence in our lives. Tracy Bray is a medium. She's been accredited through a source, a resource, a group, a foundation that did some studies on mediums and said, yep, you're legit. And Tracy, that's a huge accomplishment because it takes a little bit to get accredited with the organization that gave you the thumbs up and all of that acclaim for being legit. So thank you. I appreciate you doing all the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Look forward to talking with you today.
Thank you very much. Yes, the Winbridge application process is 8 months long, and it is intense. So I appreciate your accolade for that, and I'm grateful to have had the opportunity and honored to be able to do the work.
Okay, now you actually worked full-time as doing something else, and then it took a little push to get you to jump into the medium realm. What transpired? Why?
Well, you're referring to my previous career, Wendy?
Yeah.
Okay. I think what happened was I have a master's in law enforcement, and I had been working. One of the last jobs that I worked in that area was as a curriculum writer and trainer for the state of Illinois with law enforcement, and I loved it. But at the same time, I was becoming very ill. And unbeknownst to me, due to an exposure to toxic mold. And I think that as I did not have the ability, I lost the ability to perform executive functioning tasks and skills, which include short-term memory, organizational issues. I think as that fell away, I needed to do something else for an income, but also I had been doing this on the side, and it just opened up the time and the ability for me to focus on the medium work. So it took about a 10-year period to get through that. But
I want to address that real quickly because that little element there is what I was given a preview to as I began to do channeling and more of the intuitive work, is that part of our ability kind of sidesteps or fades. And it isn't necessarily a negative thing, but it is good to be aware because it's very disconcerting when you're used to having answers. You're used to being able to, you know, split second come up with, okay, yeah, that's what it's about. And all of a sudden you have to start thinking and start processing and start stretching yourself to be able to have everything that used to be right there on, you know, on the main plate. So I know you had to have been a little bit frustrated at not being able to continue with life as you knew it. That's a challenge.
Right. Frustrated is only part of it. Frightened was another big part of it. My physical health was deteriorating, and along with it, some of my emotional health and well-being, because my world as I knew it was being and would become entirely uprooted. However, I think that had that not happened, I would have continued rather happily in the work that I was doing, because I was making contributions to the world there, as I do from the work I do now. So I've been fortunate to be able to do that in both areas of the of this world that I've worked in.
Well, I like, and I, that's the reason I brought up the law enforcement background, is because that gives you a sense, a level of integrity. When people are dealing with somebody who has a very intimate connection to them, such as a psychic or an intuitive, you want them to give you, to the best of their ability, information that they are solid and truthful, honest, to the best of one's ability. These are tough words, but each of us has that knowing. That am I doing this for a greater purpose, a higher good? And when you're working with a channel, with an intuitive, with a medium, you want that person to come from that space, that frame of mind. And I think that's something that you get to see when you're dealing with people like the Facebook page that you've organized and orchestrated, and you're getting some wonderful, wonderful, what I've seen, engagement and interaction from that.
Thank you. Yes, I am. And I think credibility in whatever we do professionally is so important. But being a medium, I think it, or a psychic, anything in this realm, it is so very important to have credibility. That, for me, is my formal education, my previous work experiences, my the way I've lived my life, the track that I've followed, has been, for the most part, pretty... I've walked with integrity, and I think what I had to do was learn to become authentic, to live with the medium part and let that emerge as it did. Facebook has been fun. I had to chuckle with you going down the Twitter road. I have not been there yet, but going to Facebook was a commitment on my part, because I probably spend a good extra hour a day working with that, sometimes more, sometimes less, and monitoring it and such. And it does take setting boundaries, for sure.
Well, and that's the thing with all electronic media. I don't use or carry on a regular basis a cell phone, just because that one element gives me so much more flexibility and freedom in my life. It really does give me the space that I need. So the Twitter thing, yeah, I don't have the cell phone. I won't be constantly monitoring it. But it's a way for me to engage in a new form of community that I had discounted before, because it's like, I can't add one more thing to my plate. Okay, I'm writing, I'm doing all this. Please don't. And I'm like, oh, I got on there. Okay, maybe I need to reassess this. Because it gave me access to a broader spectrum of content from all of the fields that I am interested in now, as opposed to what I was doing when I was a news broadcaster. So it's making a wonderful new flotsam and jetsam pot of creation accessible in a way that it hadn't been before. So there, I will put a plug in for that if you need to. But again, limits and boundaries are good.
Yes, definitely.
When you read and respond to the folks on Facebook, what are the most compelling questions, or the thing that really grabs your attention when you're looking, when you're trying to determine who you should address or how you should answer questions?
Well, so far, I've been able to address nearly everything. I've been delighted that there have been only a couple of posts that I've received since doing this at the end of April that I would say were things that I didn't want to address or didn't respond to. But I think people ask the things on Facebook that they ask me in person. Probably the number one is, my loved one okay? And that's a common one. That's the biggie. Some of the other ones are grouped into being interested about me, what I do, how I do it, how it came to be.
Do they have their own the perception when you talk to them, you get the feedback?
I get feedback from people. I've pulled new clients off of Facebook, which I've been grateful for. And the feedback is always very gracious. People have been very kind and genuinely interested in the work that I'm able to do.
When you do have something that's a challenge, what would that be?
On Facebook?
In answering questions.
In answering questions?
You know, in content.
I think for me on Facebook, the content, I could write and write and write and write on the majority of the questions that I receive. But I think putting things as succinctly as I can and honoring the work of the other side, the dead, and respecting the living, and doing that in a teeny tiny paragraph, that's the challenge.
Yeah, there's a reason people, you know, distinguish certain others of us with great writing attributes, because they know how to consolidate, do something concisely, and edit. Or you just work with somebody who can do all that for you.
Right. Haven't gotten there yet.
Mm-hmm,
although I did start it out. A friend of mine, I think, kind of, twisted my arm. That's not a very good phrase to use, but encouraged me strongly to do Facebook. And I was very reluctant. One, I'm somewhat of a technological dinosaur, in that I'm very comfortable with email and the website and so on. And she said, you write them, I'll make the posts. Well, we did that for maybe 2 weeks. And then she decided she wasn't going to do that anymore, and I was already gaining momentum and took it over. They're all definitely authentic from me. But I did not intend to take on the time that it takes to do this. But
to get sucked into it, huh?
I did. But, you know, when I look at the numbers of people that are reading the posts and sharing them, et cetera, clearly it was an important thing to do, because it does have meaning. The feedback I get away from Facebook always amazes me, when I'll meet someone and they'll say, oh, I read your post about that, and it's like, you're kidding. So it's neat.
All right. What about your daily life? Because that's something that, you know, people are, they're still fascinated by. What is it that a medium connects to? How do you go about your day? Do you have ghosts in your house? Do they, the book, do ghosts shower with you or something? I can't remember. There was a book, Concetta Bertoldi, or I can't remember her name. I'm so sorry. But she was also a medium, and that was one. Do ghosts see me when I shower, whatever, you know? So what's your day?
Well, it's interesting that you, quite timely that you ask. I have recently made a decision. I'm going to remain local in Kansas City, Missouri, but I'm going to be moving from a home that I just absolutely love. It's on the historic register and built in 1905, I believe. So one would assume there are likely lots of spirits around the house, and I've been aware of them, casually so. They've never been bothersome or just most positive interactions, seldom as they seem. But the minute that I committed to moving, I had some very interesting activity, most of which occurred right around the front door to the residence. I actually sat and watched a desktop thermometer and I can't remember now what was sitting next to it, a carbon monoxide detector. I was sitting at my desk probably 20 feet from this and watched them fly off the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had such blatant personal experiences. And similarly, there was a concrete statue of an angel sitting on a bookshelf that's on a colonnade, between colonnades next to the front door. And it fell off one side of the shelf, and the other side of the shelf goes into another room. It's an open thing, and my telephone blew off that. So, yes, there's a little activity right here.
Well,
but
so
how
did you
I
ask
combated
what it's
that
about?
Was just had a little chat, and was so complimentary and appreciative of the energy in this home. People that have been here for private readings love it. I think love being here as much as I do.
Well, that was, I was trying to say, did you have an input as to why all of the upheaval? Is it, you know, hey, we're going to miss you. Don't, you know, change your mind.
I think probably part of that, I don't know about the change your mind. I don't know about we're going to miss you, but I think my sense was frustration and maybe a little bit of anger because I've been a good ambassador of the building that I live in, and I've treated this residence well. I've been here 8 years, and it's lovely, and it's lovelier since I've been here. And I think there's probably some sadness. There's certainly sadness from my end about going, and I have to think it is theirs too.
What I've experienced in things like that, you know, it gets more active as we do things in our life that create change all across the board. As soon as we're making these major transformations, and for me, the paranormal activity tends to amp up. And I don't know if that's because we're helping to create a new, you know, bring in a new level or type of energy, a different frequency that then gives it permission to become more active because we are no longer set in our ways and seeing everything as a linear. We get into a routine, and as the routine is established, we get more and more entrenched, more and more concrete in our daily engagement, and it becomes almost like an autopilot, a preset. But when you shift that, then you're more aware of the things that you took for granted. And you, for me, again, I have to put personal identity on this. Then the world becomes open again. And it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't notice. And so then it supports you in that view, in that frame of reference. The most profound and blatant paranormal activities and engagements that I have been in have involved job changes, deaths, transitions of all sorts. And that's when the paranormal element amped up. Does that make sense?
It does. For me, and I assume probably for you, that the paranormal element is, I'm much more aware of it on a day-to-day basis than probably the majority of people are. I'm accustomed to it. We're friends. But I agree, this is a major life event for me and took a lot of painful decisions, decision-making events to get to this place, to make the move. And I've always sensed that these spirits are present, but it took this move, this contemplation of this move, I think, for this exacerbation of their presence to be known.
And yeah, I agree that I don't think it's necessarily a negative. I think it's just more of an acknowledgement that yes, we're here and potentially we're going too.
Yeah. Or I'm not sure on that. They've certainly invited them. That will be left to be seen, because I think part of the reason they're the ones that I'm aware of, at least, that are here because of the space and the place. I don't know that they'll want to travel with, but
well, absolutely.
Perhaps they'll come to visit.
My reference actually would be more to your own guardians, your own chorus, that they're also present in some of this upheaval and the transition, and saying, hey, you know, pay attention. Let's don't forget the angels.
Yes, that's true.
And so that part of it, I guess it's really tough to articulate some of these things in just one statement, because the world is so much fuller than we normally talk about. And for me, that's also part of the equation. And leaving any house, so we have a house that we were visiting yesterday, and that the energy, I love the space. It also has a resident. The resident doesn't need to go anywhere. That resident is more like a caretaker and stays in the space. But it also includes certain elements that the house has a tendency to manifest as a result of having that resident. And it's just fascinating to me how these things work. What I would like to ask you about is, are you able to pick up, when you go and do your readings for other people, on the energies in addition to those who are their primary a spouse or somebody who is recently deceased, others in that space who also would like to make their presence known?
I am. One thing that I don't list on my website or speak about too often is that I'm a certified advanced practitioner of what's called interior alignment, and it's a school developed by Denise Lynn, who you may know of. What interested me in that, it combines feng shui but also space clearing. energetic space clearing. And I've always, since I was a little girl, remember being able to go into places, be it a department store or, you know, the school, and sense that there were more beings there than what we're presenting physically. And also be able to take kind of an emotional temperature of space when I walk into it. Some people would, in really benign terms, describe some places walking into it, and gee, it feels good in here, or ugh, yuck, I want to get out of here. But I'm able to do that quite readily. And if I peel back the onion when I'm in a place to look at where are those feelings and sensations and senses, et cetera, coming from, I can dig down into what's causing that. Is it a memory in the space? Is it a spirit in the space? What is that? But when I'm doing a group reading in someone else's home, for example, I tend to shut the door on all of that and just pay attention to what I'm there for, to bring in people that have passed away.
And on the Facebook page, I just wanted to ask about somebody who wanted to know whether you could mentor people. Do you do anything like that?
I don't, other than that in a session, people are welcome to set up a session, and if that's what they want to visit about, we can do that. But as far as taking on students, no. I've been asked to do that at different times. I had some curriculum up about a year ago, a couple of classes online that I offered in regard to this. But in collectively putting people together in a class, I find that has been challenging because different people want, understandably, to develop different talents or things that they seem to gravitate to. So no, I have not done that in a formal way.
Well, I ask that because a lot of times, and on my Facebook page, same thing, you know, will you work with me? Can you help me? Can, you know, what do you advise? All of this. We get that because we're talking about it and because we're sharing it. And mm-hmm. There's that hunger, that thirst for this type of information. More of it has to do with if you're listening and you're hearing the things that Tracy and I are talking about, you trusting your own ability and knowing the right place, right time to make a connection and believing in yourself enough to have the confidence to strike out and start owning your own intuition and then being directed by your own guides and your own intuition to sources that will resonate and help you develop and become more committed and content with your growing process. That's the thing about this. It doesn't just happen one day, all of a sudden you have this long list of followers and you're right in every single thing you say. That, good luck.
Ain't that the truth, sister?
Ask Sylvia Brown.
Yes.
You know, which you can do now. You can actually do it on your own plane. But she had to take a lot of guff because she had some major bloopers. But that's part of what this is about, too. If you get too egocentric and too caught up in your own stuff, then spirit has a way of saying, okay, redirect.
And I've always told people that if you ever come across a psychic, a medium who tells you that they're always correct, and I've run into them out there, run for your life, because I don't believe that's possible, number one, and number two, it is very egocentric. So that's something to steer from. But as far as people picking up on their own stuff and information they're getting and messages and so on and so forth, I think when you begin to do what you suggested, Wendy, is when it begins to accelerate. And the more experiences one has, the more easily we are able to validate those. So it's almost like deciding to jump off the ridge and just doing it.
Let me just, I wanted to underline that thing about always being right. The deal here with that and why it is so important to take note is that you are always front and center in charge of your own development, relationship, growth, life, death process. No one can take that from you, no matter how brilliant they are and how perfect and correct and right. You still have priority. And in this on our planet in this physical form, you have the final say of whether you're going to go along with what this person is projecting upon you, wherever it comes from, or whether you are going to create. There's always time to circumvent and take an out from the illusion of what we see as real. It's just there. That's the miracle. That's the magic. That's the wonder in being who we are and what we are in this form. And Tracy, I think you give people permission to make the connections with their loved ones who've crossed over and say, there's no death. There's just a transition.
Exactly. And that is so true. So very true. And it seems almost simple to me, yet I think from the outside looking in, it seems to be a very complex process. For me, it's simple and easy. However, it has not always been simple and easy, and that came by doing exactly what you talked about, is stepping into it, trying it, working through it, learning, and I still am learning. I still can sit in a reading and almost be like a spectator at the same time I'm getting it and thinking, wow, this is just so cool, so fantastic, so neat that they're willing to communicate with us. It's really a privilege.
Okay, we're going to take a break, but I want to come back and talk about that wow, that, you know, that underscore of awesome that happens when you do this work. Because I think beyond the initial trepidation of exposing oneself as having an ability and not being perfect, but having an ability, mm-hmm. there's that thing that keeps us going, the carrot of affirmation, of validation, of connection with this unseen anomaly, this unknown supernatural. And so I would like to, you know, if you could share, like, one of the most powerful experiences that you've had in your role of medium, getting that connection going, oh my goodness, this is beyond real. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I'll be thinking on that during the break.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Okay. You're listening to Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. And again, the tweet thing is active now. You can find me at Wendy Light for One on Twitter, just to join in the conversation or offer your own insight. In the meantime, you can also find the shows. I've got a site for Facebook, Conscious Living on Empower Radio, and, you know, the normal Facebook thing. But make connections from there, because there are other people who are contributing content, and you will find the source that's right for you. Back with more next on Conscious Living.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called inventnow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the inventnow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude! What happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six,
ow,
seven. Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
It's Conscious Living. We're back with Tracy Bray. She's a medium, and she's in my area. We're just nice. She's in the Midwest. We're in Kansas City. That's where this program originates on my end, aside from the producer who's way far away. We are talking about that thing right now. I wanted her to identify that, basically the thing that pulls the rug out from under you, that all of a sudden opens you up and immerses you in the wonder that is this unseen other side. What for that? You know, that moment when you finally made that connection just kind of blew you away. Could you have you been able to identify one time?
Oh, Lord. When we were on break, I it was more a challenge of choosing the bazillion examples that I could offer up. And yet I was drawn to two pretty innocuous, one is more innocuous than the other, circumstances. One, if I grouped circumstances together, though, it would be finding lost people or pets. And the first thing I ever found, I recall, for somebody was a wedding ring. And I just led the people back to a parking spot that they had been in at a mall earlier, and there it was under a pile of snow. It had fallen in. That was so meaningful to those people. But more on a life and death issue.
Wait. That's awesome. That's awesome. Before you wander off from that, that's really pretty brilliant. What behind that one, how did that feel? How did, to be able to make, what drew you to it? How did it feel as you were working it through?
That one, it came very clearly to me where this was, and I just expressed that to the client. When the client called me back after they had traveled to this place and found the ring, when I got off the phone, in honesty, it was like, first thought was, that's cool, that's neat, I'm glad to have been a part of that. Okay, I move on, kind of like I just tried to move on from that topic. It just
yes
felt like, oh, well, that was one of those things. When it became more poignant to me, though, over many, many occasions over the last few years, was with finding people. One was a client who had a grandson. She was raising a young adult who they lived in a very rural area, and he went missing. And I was able to stay with her on the phone while she drove country roads, and I'd never traveled to where this was before, other than in my own mind, and helped her find that child. She was able to drive up to the area I talked about, walk back into the woods and find him. When it really, again, I thought that was probably fluky, because it's not a big, there's not a big calling for me to do this. It's not, doesn't take up a,
yeah, but
a lot of time.
That is really, really helpful. I can tell you with lost pets, it's really helpful.
Oh, yeah. Another time, a physician called me, and his 90-plus-year-old grandma had left earlier in the day, noontime-ish, and this was like 8:30 at night when he called me. She'd left to go to the grocery store in her own vehicle and never came home. And I think our hearts all drop when we hear that. It's terrifying for people to lose people or pets. And this is, again, about trusting what one sees or hears. And I heard a name, some people pronounce this differently, Mora or Mariah. And I sat here and I thought, well, you know, should I even say this to this gentleman calling me this doctor or not? And I said it to him. I said, does this name mean anything to you? And he said, well, yes, that's actually the name of a cemetery in the geographical area where this woman lived. Lo and behold, she was found parked at the side of the road, just very confused, at the cemetery.
Wow.
So, you know, those moments are like, I get choked up thinking about that one in particular. Wow.
Part of it, too, is, and I'll share one. This is when I had a cat, and the cat disappeared, and I get attached to pets, and they are part of me. And so they're very, each and every one is unique. And the cat was gone, and I'm just, oh, please let me know. I can accept if my companion is no longer living, but please let me know. And I got the image and the space and went out and found my kitty who had gone across the road, been hit by a car, and then just collapsed on the path and died. But it was aww, heartbreaking, but it was that thing of thank you, because then I could release the energy and let him go. And I didn't think anything of it until years later when I realized, oh my, I did that, you know. But again, like you just, it's like, it's one of those things that you underscore or underplay, because mm-hmm. it just came. It was easy. It was too easy. And so you just say, well, okay, I did that, and walk away.
Right, right.
But
now,
the
other thing I wanted to mention,
that, even when
yes, and I'm so sorry
bad.
That your kitty was hit, but so glad you knew. That's very important.
That's the thing. I think you're also called to do that, to give people information, both what we would consider negative, because the outcome is a death, or positive, that they're still here and we've, you know, made the connection before anything bad happened, because it isn't always going to be the outcome that we want.
Exactly.
I think
now I wanted
helps.
To mention another circumstance, an affirmation that was actually fun, and it was a good lesson for me, and this just happened last week. I was reading for adults, a mother and adult daughter, who had lost the mother's other daughter, ergo sibling to the living daughter that was here, if you can follow that. But anyway, I'm sitting here reading for them, and I just kind of pay attention to what I'm getting, and I verbalize it. And one of the things that came through, and these were very middle-class looking, mature women, and I hear Justin Bieber, the name Justin Bieber, the singer. And I'm thinking, I mean, my own self sits and argues with spirit, oh, for
yes.
heaven's sakes,
yes.
what
uh-huh.
in the world is, how is Justin Bieber going to, now I know in doing this long enough, just say it. So I say right. it. And right. they both, I mean, this was a sad reading, talking about this gal that had passed away for them, but they laughed. And not only was Justin Bieber a significant part of growing up, they'd been to concerts of his, etc., but mom and this living daughter had just been talking about Justin Bieber and his role in their lives the day prior.
Amazing.
In other words, sister, this is evidence that sister past is still around.
Mm-hmm.
She is participating and observing conversations. So for me and for those out there, it's so important to trust what's there and go with it.
Do you have your own relatives around you? Anybody special?
I do. And sometimes they come to me in nature related, things. Like I believe that if you look closely at clouds, at groupings of trees, etc., a tree trunk, you can see different faces and things. I recently saw my dad in a grouping of trees. It was really kind of neat. My folks, not as in parents folks, but people as a group of folks, tend to stay in the background, and they're there if I need.
In other words, they don't, they're not, they're more like cheerleaders in the support system.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I can't not say that they're not an active daily part of my life, because my belief system is that they are. But as far as being front and up front and center in my life during my daily activities, no.
Were there any mediums or psychics that you felt drawn to that helped you as you were kind of, you know, owning your own abilities?
I did. In my 20s, I found Shirley MacLaine's books on spiritualism or spiritual growth and tract really helpful to me because it gave me permission and encouragement to do so. I enjoyed reading John Edwards' books and George Anderson's books about their experiences and how spirit originally began to come to them, how they recognized that. As far as a living psychic, although she has passed, her name was Greta Alexander, and she was from Delavan, Illinois, which is just outside of Peoria, Illinois, a larger town. And I originally used her as a, I was a client, but later she took me under her wing and I was able to watch her read, particularly in a couple of law enforcement related activities with missing people.
What was that like when she was doing the reading for the people there?
It was fascinating. It was extremely intense. And it was the way she received information was she would take on physical pain, affect, et cetera, of who was coming through. I remember being with her once when she was reading on the telephone for a law enforcement agency about a woman presumed murdered. And although to date this body has never been found, she was getting that this woman had been choked to death, and she began to vomit while she was on the phone with this department. I mean, it physically was so trying on her. But I learned so much from her. And the other thing I learned from her was the importance of being professional and working with integrity.
I think part of that is, you know, as a medium, as an intuitive, as whatever, you really have to set boundaries and limits and not get involved in the drama. You have to just say, this is what I get. This is, you know, I'm giving you to the best of my ability what I'm receiving, and you'll have to determine whether that works for you. A lot of times people will not let you know that you've hit the nail on the head. They because sometimes they refuse because it's either embarrassing or they have to let go of one of the things that they had, their illusion that it was impossible, or that they don't remember it at the time, how it relates. It's too far out of their frame of reference at that point. Then they go back and go, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And as a reader, you have to say, you have to walk away from it. You can't say I'm right or I'm wrong or see, I told you. So you have to go, okay, and that's what it is, and walk away.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, I'm sure the majority of times, I don't know that those issues, I don't know the outcome of what somebody has decided to make of the reading once they've left. But the times that I have and people have been frustrated, that was something that has taken me a long time to be able to let go of that. Because I think one of the things in being professional is wanting to please your client, but pleasing the client with accurate information. And when the response is, I just talked to a woman on the phone this morning who set up another appointment, and we were talking about her previous reading, and she said, you know, I forgot, and this is 2 years ago, I forgot to tell you that when you read for me, so-and-so came through, and at the time I didn't acknowledge that I knew who that was, but at the time I thought maybe I did know who that was, and just didn't say anything. But my memory of the reading was she was very frustrated and not at all happy. You're right, that does take, for me, it's taken some effort and educating myself and bolstering myself that's part of the work.
Well, part of it, I know in my own personal life, when somebody says something to me, I may not have a facial expression that gives them an affirmation or an approval because I'm too busy contemplating and I don't know how my face is reacting. I can't control that at the time. And
true.
So I know that sometimes I can be misread or somebody assumes that I didn't like something because I didn't immediately go, woohoo, you know, touchdown. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just like, well, I wasn't there yet. I was still chewing on the information. I didn't have time to spit out a reaction. And I think we do that with others, that we, people that we know and people we don't know, we are not always conscious of the vibes we're sending to give people the approval that they need or the affirmation and validation. And with mediums, you know, when a medium gives you a good reading, it's so nice if you're able to connect and reconnect and say, hey, by the way, this was helpful. Because a lot of times that opportunity just, you know, it just evaporates because people, they don't know where the information came from. It just all of a sudden makes sense. And it was a connection somewhere along the path. Is that a good way? Does that make sense to you?
Very much so. And one of the things that back about the research stuff that I do with Windbridge Institute, for example, none of the research mediums will ever know how we did on a reading that we do for them. We know collectively as a group how the group of us performed, but that's one of the things that makes that work particularly challenging is that it's, no pun intended, but it's almost like reading for dead air. You have no sense of the outcome or the impact.
I like that in a way because it makes it, it's done. It's done. It's not like taking a test. I can go back and do better. This is what I had at the time.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. So it's very ephemeral. You're not trapped by that in some way, shape or form aspect of being tested and said, oh, you got 98% right. Too bad. Or, you know, you got 78% because you're always changing. So to stick somebody with that test score is inaccurate because we are always evolving.
True. That is true.
So if you pass, that's great. You'll continue to evolve and hopefully become more adept and, you know, one way or the other, continue to ascend. But to be trapped by any form of score, I think, belittles the totality of what we as humans and as souls are experiencing in this process. We are evolving. We are upgrading always, 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 no matter what it looks like to our peers and those who would judge us.
Mm-hmm. True.
And not that I have an axe to grind or something. It's just that I, in being put in a position of judging other people for tests or performances or, you know, like the press club, judging who had the best role. And I was like, I hated that. I hated mm-hmm. that because I just didn't feel it was fair. It's just such a momentary time thing. And I don't have that experience with time being stuck the way most people view it. I think it's just ephemeral. It is what it is. And we are multidimensional. So to limit somebody by saying, well, you're the first place winner. And that's only because five other people didn't show up. Congratulations.
Yeah. I think for me, it's just like, to put so much investment into the readings and things. I'm competitive. I'd like to know when I've been accurate, when I've interpreted things and delivered them accurately. But it certainly isn't a life and death thing for me. But it has taken me time to just be done with a reading. I mean, I am done with a reading when I'm done with it. But to not worry about how it was interpreted because that is not my responsibility.
That is a challenge, though. I'm so glad you addressed that because, for people who are listening, you don't always have the kind of closure you would like because, again, we're working with people and they don't always give you that kind of validation.
Right.
You have to be able to be comfortable with who you are and know that you did the best of your ability to give them something authentic in that moment. And Tracy, I think that's what sets you apart. It gives you a lot more credibility and authenticity of saying, this is what I can do and this is what I can't.
Thank you. And that is easier and easier all the time to say what I can't do. And I think as I've been around and exposed to miscellaneous mediums more and more, the older I get, the more and more I see that each one is an individual human being with individual talents and gifts and abilities that they can focus in, areas they can focus in. And I think the more that we refine that, while, of course, remaining open to growth, it's a beautiful thing.
When you've been around other mediums, has that enhanced your ability in any way?
Definitely. In both directions. When I've been around talented professional mediums, it really elevates my energy. I'm always interested in hearing how information comes to them and exploring different considerations that I hear from them. On the other hand, when I've, and this was more in my younger days of my career, when I was around people that did not behave professionally, that certainly brought to the forefront the absolute need to be credible at all times.
Is that hard?
No. Overall, no. For me, it's not. however, I am human, and
I know. That's the fine print. Dang it.
Yes, but no, it's not difficult to be credible, and I enjoy public speaking and educating people on what I do. I wish I had more opportunities to do that. One of the things I'm seeking out this calendar year.
Okay, and that's before we get too far on a different direction. Bring up, you are doing some events and you've got some things going, and obviously you're open to other things. So if people want to connect with you, now's a good time to mention that that's totally, totally encouraged.
Thank you. Thank you for that opportunity. The in-person things that I have going right now on the calendar are mainly in the Kansas City, Missouri area. And you can find those on my website, which is my name, Tracy with an I, TracyBray.com. And I post on Facebook under Tracy Bray Medium. So those are the best ways to find out about those events. Different areas I'll be in reading later this year, likely in the New York City area, Fort Myers, Florida. I likely will be going out to California and possibly Arizona are some things that are on the calendar. And I have also found this pocket of folks in southwestern Kansas that they are thirsty for this kind of work. And that draws people from Oklahoma City and Tulsa.
From southwest Kansas?
Yes.
How fun. Can you name the city, or are you just...
Sure. It's in the Garden City, Sublette, Kansas area. Those are far southwest Kansas. Sublette, that area is, if people are familiar with the book In Cold Blood, a true story written by Truman Capote.
Yeah, classic.
Occurred down there. So that's one of its claim to fame, but it's a real heavily ranching and oil area.
Well, close to the land, you know, and this is an amazing part of the U.S. It's just, I think we sometimes take it for granted, but it's just, I think it's a beautiful place to be.
Oh, I agree.
Before we leave, I also wanted to say congratulations on your move.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I haven't adjusted to that. People in my life are thrilled with it, but I'm grieving leaving.
Yeah,
mediums grieve too.
It's a transition.
Yes,
it's a transition. Yes. All right. So, in terms of the forward momentum, if you had a chance right now to tell people who were experimenting, exploring, discovering their own abilities, what would you say to pay attention to?
I would tell them that whatever tweaks their attention, piques their attention, write it down. Date it and write it down, because as things continue to happen, they likely will continue at an accelerated pace, and you'll have a record of the progression. Those things could be voices that you hear. They could be dreams that you have. They could be events in nature that you have. Just a plethora of different ways, but just pay attention and record it.
The woman who runs Winbridge Institute, does she have a book?
She does. That is Julie Beischel, B-I-E-S-C-H-E-L. And her books are on Amazon. You can go to winbridge.org. A recent one just came out, and it's going to be just little short mini books. Of interviews that she's done with all of us that are research mediums, asking common questions that people have. And the responses, I've had the opportunity to read some of those, are really cool, including my own. But but they're neat. And they're cheap, inexpensive books, 99 cents. She has another one called Among Mediums, which is about her experience in, again, going out on a wing. She is a trained, I think in she has a PhD in something pharmaceutical, not related to mediums directly, but how she went on a professional limb and did this work and how fascinating it's been to her to meet people doing what we're doing.
I love that. You tend to get put in a box by your title of whatever business or job that you've had. And the beauty of this, especially, you know, the law enforcement background, the pharmacology background, we are a melting pot. And all of this is beyond what we are as a job or a career. It's a part of our natural being that we are finally being able to address and saying, look, this is what I am. This is what I can do. And you're bringing a whole new level of awareness to that element by doing what you do, Tracy. So I love talking with you. I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing. And I hope people will connect more with you on your website or Facebook, wherever they can find you, because this is how we all grow and we evolve.
Thank you, Wendy. And you for being the person who delivers just so much information to the public about the different avenues that life takes.
Well, I wish it were easier. I think that's the fine print.
It's not
what supposed to be easy. Yeah. It's like, okay, it'll click when it clicks. Anyway, so if you're listening right now and you'd like to find out more, Conscious Living, I also have a blog site. I do that, talkingtonightlights.com. And the book goes along with that, Talking to Nightlights. And when I refer to that, the nightlights are real for me every day. This light, these interactive lights are with me. And when I take them to show people, they do what they do because that's the energy that is around all of us. And if we develop ourselves and our abilities, it gives us a way of being seen or of interacting with us on a regular basis. So you can do that too. It's just allow yourself to learn at your own pace, at your own rate, and you'll succeed in whatever it is you wish you were better at. How's that? Thanks for listening, and join us next time. I've got a bunch of interviews. I think we're booked through March. Anyway, we'll be talking more of conscious living here on Empower Radio. I'm Wendy Garrett. Have a fabulous day, and remember, think the best thoughts. That's what comes back to you. You're the creator here. Enjoy.